Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle reading from James chapter 5. We are continuing our walk through the book of James, continuing from last week. And today, James's main emphasis is on prayer. He basically lays out the argument that prayer works, which I hope is not a very controversial statement in this room. And so because prayer works, we ought to pray every once in a while. We ought to pray. More than just every once in a while, we ought to pray. And ultimately, the best prayer of all of humanity was answered by God sending his son Jesus into this world to be our Savior. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for several years after I got my driver's license when I was 16 years old, I would not use cruise control. And I can't really tell you that there's one specific reason why not. I guess just back then, well, first of all, for one thing, I didn't really understand it. I mean, I kind of knew what cruise control was supposed to do, but I didn't really know how to make it happen in the car that I was driving. My very first car ever was a 1991 Chevy Caprice Classic, black with red leather interior. This car was hilarious. It was huge. It was like driving a boat to school. This car, the fuel tank, was all the way in the back, Like you had to flip down the license plate in order to fill up your tank. It was just a crazy car. I'm sure I looked really, really cool driving it. But up there in the driver's seat, there were all these like extra buttons and levers and stuff. And for the cruise control, there was all these like extra buttons on the turn signal. And I guess just back then, I just didn't really want to deal with it. I never bothered to ask anybody about it, and so I just never used it. Besides the fact that I learned how to drive in Connecticut, and if you've ever driven around in Connecticut before, you know that it's very hilly, it's very windy, there's not a lot of places where you would want to just travel at one speed for any length of time. But if I'm being honest, deep down, I think the real reason why I was resistant to use cruise control is because I really wanted to be the one who was in control. I didn't like this whole idea of taking my foot off of the gas pedal and letting the car just do its own thing. And since I'm being really honest, I also learned how to drive in a place where I was surrounded by Boston and New York drivers, where speed limits are kind of like suggestions. And so I didn't really want cruise control to restrict my driving, if you catch my drift. But then I moved to the upper Midwest. I moved to Wisconsin for college. And you know, people drive differently up there. And it didn't take long, and actually took a few warnings from local law enforcement to get me to realize that I needed to learn how to drive differently too. And so this took way too long for me to figure out, but I realized that driving in Wisconsin, where the roads are wider and straighter, if I would set the cruise control, that would keep me from speeding. That would keep me from having to pay some expensive ticket that I really couldn't afford. And so this feature that was available to me the whole time was not really a burden after all. It was actually somewhat of a gift. And boy, I'm really glad for cruise control now. Living here, driving on these country roads back here, you get going, you start thinking about something else, all of a sudden you look down and you're going 75 and a 55. You guys do this too, right? It's not just me. It's really easy to do that by accident around here. And so cruise control is our friend. Now, the reason why I bring all this up is because I wonder how many of us feel or have felt the same exact way about prayer, since that's the main point of this epistle from James chapter 5. Prayer is an amazing gift to us. Not because when we pray, God loves us more than he already did or something like that. Not because prayer gives us some sort of magical power, like we treat God like a cosmic genie who's going to fill all of our wishes for us. But prayer is an amazing gift because it gives you and me and all of us direct access to God. Think about how wonderful that sounds. I mean, the same God who created everything that we see and sustains it all cares enough about you as an individual to listen to what you have to say to him. That's pretty comforting, actually. And it's only possible because of the faith that we have been given in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without his holiness covering up all of our sin, we wouldn't even have a chance to ever be in God's presence or to ever talk with him, to ever come to him with anything. I'm sure many of you remember one of the key details in the Good Friday story is that when Jesus dies on the cross, the temple curtain is torn in two. Right? So the curtain, the barrier that separated humanity and God in the most holy place in the temple is destroyed, which means that you and I can speak to God about whatever we want, whenever we want, here in church, at home when you're by yourself or with your family. Yes, maybe when you're in the car and you got the cruise control set and your mind starts to wander to some of those difficult things that you're dealing with in your life, we can pray. But I wonder, do we sometimes treat that gift of prayer, even though it's this wonderful tool that we have in our Christian toolbox, do we sometimes treat it the way that I used to treat cruise control? Where, you know, it's kind of a nice feature, but it's completely unnecessary. And maybe the issue is that we don't fully understand how we can use it. So then that leads us to kind of avoid it or neglect it. You know, and so instead of it being this great gift to us, maybe it feels sometimes like prayer is a burden. And maybe the real problem is that when we pray, we're actually acknowledging the fact that we are not the ones who are in control. Right, just like getting yourself to the point where you can take your foot off the gas pedal the very first time and just let the car do its thing. Well, in prayer, essentially what we're doing is we're taking our burdens and we're giving them to God and we're letting God do his thing. And that is not really an easy thing for us to do a lot. But then you look at this passage from James and you look at all of these amazing promises that James gives to us here when it comes to prayer. And I'll just reread some of this for you. James says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Now, those are some awesome promises. But I'm just going to go ahead and address the elephant in the room now. Because sometimes we do these things, right? We do exactly what James tells us to do. We pray. We put names on our prayer list here in the congregation. We have all of the people here in church praying for other individuals and families week after week after week. And yet sometimes people don't get better. Sometimes they get sicker. Sometimes the Lord even calls them home and they pass away. So what gives? Like, is James just lying to us? Is there really any point in praying at all if God is just going to do what God is going to do anyway? We look closer, though, at these words from James. Because James does promise that the prayers of the faithful can cause healing. But I don't think it's fair to say that physical healing is the only kind of healing that there is. Sometimes the healing is spiritual. Sometimes God, in His great wisdom, knows that for a particular individual, physical healing may not be the best thing for them. Sometimes God knows that letting an illness run its course, maybe even calling someone home into heavenly glory, that might be the very best thing for that person. We hardly ever think of sickness and death as being good things, because on the surface, they're absolutely not. But God can and does use these things for our benefit, for our good. God always answers our prayers, even if He answers them in ways that confuse us, in ways that maybe we don't like, ways that maybe we wouldn't have answered them if we were God, or something like that. But James here is referring to other kinds of healing besides just the physical healing of our bodies, especially when you look at verse 15. James is talking about how that prayer of faith can save, that the Lord will raise this person up, that their sins will be forgiven. Saved, raised up, and forgiven. These are spiritual realities that are way more powerful than anything going on in our earthly life, like cancer or mental illness or any other pain and suffering that you could possibly think of. Saved, raised up, and forgiven. And the only reason why a prayer can accomplish those things is because the prayer that James is talking about is a prayer of faith. And that faith is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Himself gives us a model of prayer, right? We call that the Lord's Prayer. We'll be praying that prayer later in our service today. But Jesus, in His person, is also a model for how we are to pray. So not only does Jesus teach His disciples and us that we should pray things like, "Thy will be done," which, by the way, means we're taking control away from ourselves and giving it to God, "Thy will be done." But Jesus also, as a model for how to pray, would go off into a desolate place by Himself. As He's ministering to hundreds of people, as He's dealing with all this opposition from the Pharisees and the other religious leaders, Jesus is in constant communication with the Father. And that's exactly what's going on the night before He's crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is praying to the Father to take this cup away from Him. And yet He submits to the Father's will, and He drinks it anyway, for you and for me. Jesus is God's great answer to humanity's prayers, that we could be saved, raised up, and forgiven, just like James says. Now, you and I are actually living this reality right now because of the faith that we have been given in our baptisms. But until the day that we are called into heavenly glory, we still need God's help because we continue to live in this veil of tears. Prayer is so important for us as we continue to live our lives. It's a gift for you to actually use, right? We don't want to just forget to set the cruise control. We want to let God do His thing in our lives. When you're having a bad day, take it to the Lord in prayer. When you or a loved one are sick, take it to the Lord in prayer. When you've got some really difficult decision that you've got to make, take it to the Lord in prayer. When relationships with friends and family break down, take it to the Lord in prayer. When you watch as it seems like our government and other leaders just can't seem to get anything good accomplished, take it to the Lord in prayer. When sin leaves you broken and you just need that sweet assurance to know that you are still a child of God, take it to the Lord in prayer. And He will once again remind you that you are saved, raised up, and forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.